Okay, thus far, we've looked at an account of our risen Lord who had appeared to Mary. Remember? Well, she returned to share the great, incredible, wonderful news. And what happened? Remember? They didn't believe her. Shocking. What about the women who went to the tomb? All right, and they heard the testimony of the angels that he was risen. And they return to the disciples to share the news. And what happened? They didn't believe. They said it was like idle talk. Keep in mind that these men, who had refused to believe, basically, were basically the same men who had deserted Jesus Christ on the day that he was crucified. And I just want you to imagine, try to imagine the setting, the events leading up to his crucifixion, and why they would be so full of fear, why they would be so troubled, why they would be behind closed doors, why they would be disillusioned. They were terrified for their lives. And they realized that the great hope that they had, that Jesus Christ would redeem Israel, it was like their hopes were dashed to the ground, destroyed. Not only that, but they were associated with him, so they were in fear of their lives being taken away. And after everything that they had gone through with him and how he had worked with them and loved them and taught them and encouraged them and continued with them, and then they abandoned him at his hour of great need, can you imagine that they would have been full of condemnation, wouldn't you? They were full of shame. They were full of mental torment. So this was the setting. This is what they were dealing with. And the account that we're going to look at this morning is an account of two men. They were walking on the road to Emmaus. They were leaving Jerusalem. And I wanted to just share a brief little paragraph here from this fabulous book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, by Victor Paul Werwolf. This particular account that we're going to look at, God's Word spends more time on this resurrection appearance than on any other. Jesus Christ was the only person who has ever been raised from the dead to everlasting life. And yet, he did not appear to men of great wealth or power. He didn't appear to any kings. He didn't appear to any of the recognized leaders of the religious establishment. And I think maybe that the disciples were expecting that. You know, that they were expecting that he would rise and there would be this great show and he was going to redeem Israel. But status, high or low, in one's earthly life is not a basis for receiving the greatness of God's word and blessing. Jesus Christ appeared to two simple disciples who were having a difficult time understanding the events surrounding the death of the man whom they had believed would redeem Israel and thereby be their Savior. So perhaps you can imagine what they might have been going through. And we're going to take a look at the scriptures. And I'd like for you to turn to Luke 24, verse 13. And while you're turning there, we're going to enjoy a portion of a beautiful song.
Two were walking along one day. Together of all the things concerning their Lord Jesus. And while they reasoned together, Jesus himself to them drew near and walked along to Emmaus.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, saith unto him, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him.
We need to abide with us. It's almost evening, and the day is far spent.
I really love to, but I really need to be going.
Please, just stay the night with us. It's getting late.
I just cannot.
Please, we insist. It's our pleasure.
Okay.
And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. And he blessed it. And he brake it. And he gave it unto them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another,
did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us on the way and shared with us the scriptures?
And they rose up the same hour.
We must go to Jerusalem and tell the disciples, he is risen.
What happened? No, really, what happened as they were walking along and they were confused and they were disillusioned? What did he do? What made the difference? He opened unto them the scriptures. Had they heard those scriptures before? The prophets? Yes. He took the time to open the scriptures unto them from Moses all the way through the prophets to John the Baptist. And they remembered. And then at the breaking of bread, did you see what happened? They remembered him. So they went from men of confusion and despair to men who were healed, who had mental healing. Whatever it was that was preventing them from even recognizing who he was, their eyes were holden. They didn't even know it was him. What could that have been? What about the fear? What about the condemnation, the shame, the despair? Do you ever experience any of those things where you're so distracted just by the pressures and the negatives and the things bombarding you that you can't even see spiritually at times? But you know, you introduce the word, the scriptures to your heart and to your mind, and what happens? freedom. Freedom from that mental bondage, because those things bind us. I read a couple of great translations about that incident that I just wanted to share with you to try to paint the picture even more of what they were going through. Phillips translated that section as, "What is all this discussion that you're having on your walk?" And they stopped, and their faces were drawn with misery. Kenneth Wu said, "What are these words which you're tossing to and fro one to another in this animated, heated conversation as you're walking?" And they came to a standstill, gloomy countenanced. See, 3 days had passed since this had happened. And they had fled for fear. And with the passage of time, they had begun to give up hope. Eventually, if we allow these influences that do occur to us in this world, that tempt us to maybe condemn ourselves, to look at our flesh and not look at the greatness of what we have of Christ in us, and we don't introduce the scriptures where we can be freed in our minds, it's like a callus would begin to build, and your heart would become hardened and unable to perceive spiritually. And he reproved them for that. You see, he came to them with great tenderness and great care and concern. You see that? He saw that they were sad. But he approached them with comfort and with care. And then he reproved them. What was this, oh fools? You know, they were slow of heart to believe. But this foolishness that he was talking about was not wickedness. It's not like he was saying, "Oh, you wicked men." It was more like, "You weak men. Why haven't you believed the prophets? Why haven't you believed it?" And how foolish was it to reject the comfort of the news from Mary, who came and said, "I've seen him. He's risen." That's pretty foolish, wouldn't you say? And what about the testimony that the other women brought of that the angels said he was risen? It's like Jeannie shared last night. You know, had they believed the prophets and had they expected him to be risen, they would have been at the tomb waiting. All right, 3 days, 3 nights. Get up. But, you know, on the other hand, let's not be quick to judge these men and women, because if you imagine the trauma that they would have gone through. Think about the garden. Remember Rachel sang about that last night? Where they were just so maybe exhausted from just the mental pressure of it all, of the whole series of events that were unfolding, that they couldn't even stay awake. You know, here was Jesus Christ at this most crucial time. And they couldn't even stay awake to pray with him. But think about it. Here they are in the garden in this wilderness place. And all of a sudden, you can see in the distance hundreds of Roman soldiers approaching with torches, with noise, with these incensed religious leaders coming for him. Could you imagine how terrifying? So they were slow of heart to believe, but let's remember what they had gone through. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus Christ came and joined them, and he reached out to them, and he showed compassion toward them, and he had patience with them still. Can you imagine? Here he was, and I'm sure he just wanted to say, "I'm up, I got up." But he met them at their point of need, at their point of, you know, the effect of the trauma that they had gone through, and the sadness and the despair that they were experiencing. That's where he met them. And he gave them comfort. And, you know, here in the breaking of bread, you know, where He gave them the bread, and then they, you know, something happened. But think about it. They were likely with him at that Last Supper that he shared with his apostles and his disciples. And perhaps as they were sitting there, and they had heard the scriptures, and they had received that, that mental healing had begun to happen for them. And then they maybe recognized some gesture that he made, or the authority with which he blessed the bread. And then they had maybe a rush of associations in their minds, and then they realized, it's him! It's him! Can you imagine how elated their hearts were? And really, you know, those pressures and the prisons and the bondage that was just encasing their hearts. They were free, and they saw him, and they realized it was him. And then the power outflowing from the result of the resurrection gave them a great purpose, and away they went. So a few of the points, you know, we want to keep in mind, right? They were in this mental state of sadness. Well, what did that change into? The healing from that mental bondage. They were confused. Remember, they were, you know, we don't understand. We thought this was going to happen, and now it's not going to happen. And what is happening? They were confused, and then they were enlightened by the words that he spoke. They were dull of heart. Remember, they were so dull of heart, they couldn't even see him. They didn't even recognize him. But then what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? Something happened on the heart level there, didn't it? Their unbelief. Really just outright refusal to believe turned into believing. They became men of believing, and as the events continued to unfold and he ascended, and then Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, and then that great day where Peter stood up and said what he said. See, they became men and women of great, great believing. So, what about us? What does this mean to us? You know, how does the outpouring of what happened as a result of his resurrection, how does that affect us? Right here, right now. I mean, I look around at you and I know that I am in the presence of greatness because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you believed and you made him your Lord and Savior. And he is alive in you. It's Christ in each and every one of you and me. And that is greatness in this room and in this world. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Wow. We, us, you, me, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm, in Christ. If you go on to read chapter 1 of Ephesians, and you know this because you've read it, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were chosen personally, by name. It wasn't like a group thing. It was individually, we were chosen. We were predestinated unto sonship. We received redemption. We were redeemed through what? His blood. The blood that he shed on that cross. We were redeemed. We are righteous. We are righteous. We are righteous now. We receive forgiveness of sins. Oh, how great is that? So many people in the world are just so sin conscious. They're conscious of their sins, and then some of them get really religious and then feel like they have to just keep revisiting and resurfacing their sins and repenting of their sins. But it's all about the sins, the sins, the sins. We were forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did. The sin problem is finished because he was a savior from sin. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. We share an inheritance with Jesus Christ. We are to be the praise of God's glory. We are. Doesn't it just seem that it would be fruitless and ridiculous to be ashamed, to condemn yourself for anything, for any mistake, for any error, for any shortcoming? This is who we are. We're chosen. We're predestinated. We're redeemed. We've been forgiven. We have an inheritance. We are to the praise of God's glory. That's us. Woohoo! Let's read verse 18. Hey, it happened to them. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We can know that. We're not without hope. We're not left in the dark wondering what's going to happen. Oh, no, 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 no. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We can know. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? We believe. We are not filled with unbelief. We believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can anything have dominion over you? Then let's not let it. And you know what? If we see it happening to one another, then just get in there and fight for that person. That's what we do. We're a family. We don't let somebody else go down the tubes in any way, shape, or form. We should be so sensitive and caring and loving toward one another that when you see that happening, you don't, oh gosh, you know, this is just so inconvenient for me right now, or I just don't want to deal with it. I have my own problems that I want to dwell on. No, we get in there and we fight for one another. Verse 22, and he hath put all things under his feet, God, under Jesus Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's us. Let's look at Romans 8. Got to go there. Because there's even more. There's more, more, more. And the more that you read the word, the more you see it, the more the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, the more you walk with the power of the resurrection in you, the more that you reach out to others who are maybe without hope, who maybe need healing, need comfort. In chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. And you see, those disciples, they were really more than just sad. It's not like they were just having a bad day. They were so disillusioned by condemnation. But you see, there is therefore now no condemnation. We have everything that we need. We have healing, the healing that's available. Let's look in chapter 8, verse 10. Where is Christ now? He's in us. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness, because of what he did, and we are righteous now. And the Spirit in us is life, and sin does not have any more dominion over us. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is a reality. That is clear. There's nothing iffy about that. That spirit of life that's in you quickens your mortal body. We have healing. We can walk by the Spirit. We are out of bondage. We have been delivered from bondage. We've received sonship. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have the hope of Christ's return. In verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is nothing in this world. There is nothing in this universe. There is no principality power that has any dominion over us that can stand against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one and nothing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is not holding back. If there's anything that you need, anything that you desire, anything that you're lacking, physically, mentally, you know, we're here together. This is your time. This weekend, let's help one another. Let's leave here healed, whole, electrified, ready to just speak it, that He is risen. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who's he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Listen to this. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know what? That's what those guys were thinking on the road to Emmaus. That's what those disciples were thinking. We're like sheep going to the slaughter. He's gone. He wasn't the Redeemer who's redeemed Israel. He's dead. And now they're going to come after us. Sheep to the slaughter. But no, 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 no. Verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I mean, does that cover it all? None of that shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is in us. Wasn't it the love of God that motivated him to give his only begotten Son? What value are we for him to give something so precious, the life of his only begotten Son, who was completely obedient to him, obedient to death, that he gave his only begotten Son? He did not spare that. It was the love of God. And how did Jesus Christ do what he did? Because of the love in his heart. Do we have something to give? I mean, we cannot allow any thoughts that are contrary to that ever to enter our minds and lodge there, because there is a world out there of people who need to hear this. They need to know, and we know it. It's not like we're trying to figure it out. We know it, and we manifest that power. It's the power of the resurrection. And I count it an incredible privilege to be with you and to be in this family with you. And I just thank God for what he did, and I am so thankful for what Jesus Christ did. There's nothing to wait for. There's no more tarrying. There's no reason to be sad. We have everything we need. So, let's go out and tell it. Thank you.